Hello friends, this is Event Avian Lighting Demystified and I'm your host Anka. Thank you for joining and welcome to our new episode from the COVID-19 quarantine. 4 weeks indoors as a family can make a few things quite clear. You will know if your marriage is stable and if you truly love your children. You will know if you can keep yourself occupied for a lot of hours. You will also know for certain if you love or hate puzzles, science projects, and board games. I always had a feeling I kind of hated puzzles, but I was not 100% sure of that until recently. Now I am certain. I despise them. They are boring, they are made up of chaos with lots of pieces that get lost that I have to find or constantly pick up from the floor. Maybe we have too many puzzles. I don't know. Puzzles of princesses and ponies and trains. I mean, I hate them all. Before we dive in to find out why I hate puzzles with such a vengeance, please take a moment to subscribe to this podcast on your favorite listening platform. By leaving a great review and hitting the 5 stars, you make this podcast visible for other people and event planners like yourself. Feel free to snapshot the podcast, share it on social media, and tag us at Trifan_events. To find more information about Trifan Events, our services, our event work, what our clients have to say about us, and especially tips and tricks of the trade on how to pivot your event to virtual, we'd love for you to join us at trifanevents.com, and that is TreefanEvents.com. I welcome your feedback and suggestions via direct messaging on social media or email at podcast@trifanevents.com. All puzzle jokes aside, the outbreak of the coronavirus, which surfaced in a Chinese seafood and poultry market late last year, has spread to at least 180 countries, infected roughly 922,000 people around the world, and killed more than 46,200 of them in a matter of weeks. And those numbers change daily. The World Health Organization has declared the situation a pandemic. Based on a complete timeline shared by the Business Insider, by January 1st, this new virus gets a name and is being identified to have started in the city of Wuhan in China. My husband, who watched the news like a hawk because he loves to stay informed, and as a 5 on the Enneagram spectrum, you will understand why, was way more aware of it and informed and knew the facts before I was. He started shopping for supplies mid-January when China recorded their first death. Although I was kind of laughing at his planning, what I thought at the time to be a little extreme for sure, I am grateful for a husband that is calculated and loves to be prepared for whatever may come because we have not been out of toilet paper, so that says something. My laughing obviously stopped when the reality sunk in by the end of February when the US reported the first death on American soil. At the time, I was working on a large gala which was scheduled for March 16, and literally one day before the in-person gala, a US national emergency was declared over the novel coronavirus outbreak, and the Center for Disease Control and Prevention released a guidance that all large events and mass gatherings of more than 50 people be suspended for at least 8 weeks. Our 3 options were cancel, reschedule, or pivot to virtual, something that nobody really has done much of yet in the nonprofit fundraising sector. I knew right then and there that out of this adversity would come something good, like the need for production companies everywhere to reinvent themselves and start producing virtual events, especially if they haven't done it before. Yes, many would argue that you might not see the same return as you had hoped from an in-person event, but with enough marketing and excitement built around your upcoming virtual event, as well as an engaged MC or speaker, you will still be able to fundraise. People will be able to log in, watch, participate, and donate towards your mission. A virtual event will allow you to share your program, fulfill your sponsorship benefits, and raise money during the broadcast by doing a special appeal. You can even build an online silent auction, provide mobile bidding from providers that are able to help with turning your event into an online fundraising campaign. If you have questions about this, please do contact me. I have a lot of resources and contacts to point you towards. This was our opportunity, and I felt that I was right. I'm obviously not taking credit for this alone, because one person alone, as much influence as you might have, you cannot execute every piece of the puzzle, and having the right people around you, the right team, is a must. Since then, we've been able to produce a few excellent pivots with funds raised above and beyond anything that we would have calculated or imagined. We're operating with a skeleton crew at the moment and taking all precautions, disinfecting everything in the studio, wearing masks, keeping 6 feet distance apart in between people, including camera and behind the scene operators. This is not the ideal setup, nor do we hope that this is the way it should be forever. And with the rest of the team either working from home or being furloughed, we hope and pray for better days like everyone else. The prevailing opinion is that we will prevail. It's just a matter of when. If you need resources and tips on how to pivot your fundraising event, or any event for that matter, to virtual, I have a blog post on my website that goes in great detail and gives you all the tools you need to make this transition successful. It will take many players pivoting to assume a business-as-usual culture once the coronavirus outbreak slows its course. And we can all distinguish ourselves by using best practices to reduce health risks and make customers, partners, attendees, sponsors, vendors, speakers, and beyond feel safe and assured at our event. The reality is we are all struggling to deal with the recent outbreak of COVID-19 virus, which will have both short and long-term impact. And moving forward with scenario planning for a range of uncertainties pertaining to proceeding and recovering in the months and even years ahead. When facing uncertainty or a crisis, identifying reliable and timely sources of information is critical to making responsible decisions. And I totally understand how this is a stressful time for everyone, and people want to know what they can do now to protect themselves and their families. While this is an evolving situation at the moment, and we do not yet have a clear understanding of what to expect, we want to offer our support to the communities affected by the outbreak, and we must remain steadfast in our commitment to the care of people around us, our neighbors, especially those at higher risk. Here are some everyday steps that people in the U.S. can take now. In addition, stay informed about what's happening in your community and always follow the directions of state and local authorities. Follow the steps to help keep you and others safe. Stay home if you can and avoid any non-essential travel. Avoid social gatherings of more than 10 people. Practice social distancing by keeping at least 6 feet, about 2 arm lengths, away from others if you must go out in public. Stay connected with loved ones through video and phone calls, texts, and social media. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. Wash your hands often with soap and water for at least 20 seconds, especially after being in a public place or after blowing your nose, coughing, or sneezing. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth with unwashed hands. Clean and disinfect household surfaces daily and high-touch surfaces frequently throughout the day. High-touch surfaces could be phones, remote controls, counters, tabletops, Amazon Prime boxes if you're like us, keyboards, tablets, and bedside tables. Follow CDC guidance. Cover your coughs and sneezes, use a tissue to cover your nose and mouth, and throw used tissues in a lined trash can. If a tissue isn't available, cough or sneeze into your elbow, not your hands. Wash your hands immediately. I hope you all follow these steps to keep you and others safe and slow the spread of the virus. But as an industry looking forward, what can we do? Organizers can help their customers' decisions-making by easing timetables for exhibitors, sponsors, and attendee reimbursement plans. For better or worse, this might mean allowing full refunds on a case-by-case basis. If a client has alternate events planned for later in the calendar year, it would be a good idea to work with exhibitors and sponsors and attendees and venues, checking to see who would be willing to switch travel plans to remain loyal and participate in the future event, even if at a reduced cost. Event professionals and planners can ease the process for partners by offering flexibility when remaining committed to a canceled event that will be rescheduled at a later date. With hotels across the nation and airlines completely shutting down more and more, event planners, hotels, and airlines will have to work together and keep in close communication. With social distancing becoming the buzzword of this global pandemic, planners will also want to keep in mind the impact this might have on future meeting design. With reduced budgets and economies likely imperative, it's quite possible that trends will lean towards smaller, more intimate corporate gatherings and groups. Start conversations with hotel and venue partners about downsizing spaces and space reduction possibilities. Meeting facilities can take the lead by showing flexibility on cost if the event organizer needs to reduce space when rescheduling their event for a future date, especially if that event needed to scale back for financial reasons. Venues can help convince hotels to forgo cascading financial penalties as the event draws near, as companies are unsure of the future and might make decisions focused on cutting their losses. On another front, venues and planners can work together to find digital virtual solutions to reduce some of the spatial needs for the event. Virtual events are changing the way we meet, and we could greatly reduce the spatial requirements for a meeting. As the meeting industry embarks on the road to recovery following coronavirus, hybrid events could greatly assist in financial balancing while we slowly incorporate the return of face-to-face interactions. As a producer of live events now transitioning into virtual event producing, I want to provide you with all the resources that you need to make this transition successful. So please do contact me, check out my website for tips and tricks, learn the hard way. You can find me on all social media platforms. You can get to me via direct messaging, on Twitter, via email, whichever way you choose to. If you have questions, I'm at your disposal and ready to share all the knowledge I've learned so far. After almost 4 weeks of primarily housebound with the kids out of school and me turning from a planner into a teacher, which the good Lord knows why he did not make me a teacher in the first place, there's a point where reality sinks in and the puzzles aren't the only indoor activity you'll be spending a lot of hours doing. See, I'm used to working from home. I've done it for the last 4 years with the weekly business travel trips for events, especially during the busy season. So this quarantine at home feels like home to me, minus having the kids and the husband all trying to work from home all at the same time, which is already one too many people around for my taste. As you can imagine, this took some adjusting to, and it still takes some adjusting to do. I bet many of you are in the same boat, and especially for parents with school-age kids at home, this takes on a whole different dimension because now you've got kids to keep comfortable, schooled, and entertained, all the while you're hoping to get as much work done as before. The key word here is hope. For children, this shelter-in-place situation can be scary at worst and boring at best. They're making this big transition too, and for us, in order to cope and stay sane during this transition, we needed to implement some sort of a schedule or a routine so they know and are comfortable with what's coming next and what is expected of them, although I'll be honest, maintaining the usual sleep times has been kind of challenging. If you have tips, please do share. Do not keep them for yourself, like the toilet paper. I beg you. Okay, I joke, but not really. Staying active is another coping mechanism we use, and personally, I've challenged myself to come out of the quarantine more fit than before. I'm so grateful for the many fitness influencers that put out constant workouts and content on how to stay healthy and moving, even when you can go into a gym. If you're not as motivated as me to exercise, there's still hope for you. Spend some time out of your day doing some kind of movement, such as, I don't know, crafting, cooking. Giving kids the power to choose this type of activity is also important. Easy do-it-yourself crafts to keep them busy and entertained, or even keep yourself busy and entertained, those are lifesavers. Yeah, some of you might say, great idea, but we don't have any crafts at home. Well, get creative, friends. I have a laundry list of projects that I finally have time to do at home. And if you follow me on social, you know, I don't joke when it comes to do-it-yourself projects and home improvements. And there's no shortage of ideas, even if you don't live in a fixer-upper. So here are my verdicts on some other activities you may be considering bringing into your home. Don't say you haven't been warned. Sewing. Well, needles and kids. Needles get dropped and lost. Inevitably, they end up in someone's food. Or a bored and enterprising child figures out how to launch the needle like a harpoon and poke someone's eye out. And is the hospital a place you want to visit these days? No, it's not. Life is now all about risk management, friends, and needles are not a risk I personally can handle. Verdict for myself? Don't try that unless you know what you're doing and can saw some facial mask that can actually be used. Kids coloring books. They're tolerable only if you've run half a marathon and are totally exhausted and can't imagine anything better than laying on the floor with a single marker and coloring in a picture of unicorns. Since running hundreds of laps around a small space sounds a little bit like torture, this also goes in the probably no category. Verdict, coloring is for babies, but then if you have babies, maybe this is for you. Card games. Tolerable. Until one child claims the other always cheats or wins or bites them when playing. This causes the other child to throw down the cards, storm off, slam the door, and begin wailing loud enough to remind you how your children spend too much of the day crying. Verdict, only an option if you can put up with loud wailing. Showers. They're warm, steamy, and utterly marvelous. Until both of your children run into the bathroom, strip down, and jump into the shower before you even finished shampooing. Verdict, if the shower is not respected by all as a sacred space, then there's absolutely nothing sacred left anywhere ever. Reading. I'm starting to believe I don't know what this is anymore. Unless it's about coronavirus, the number of beds and ventilators available at our local hospital, or how many drugs are in stages of experimental testing, I have lost my ability to read. I do realize this might pose some problems as I'm trying to homeschool here and be some sort of a role model to my kids. Verdict, books are as good as that to me right now, and I am going to regret saying this, but it's true. Personal care. Prior to a month ago, I would not have considered nail clipping, hair cutting, eyebrow trimming real activities. But now, I have come to realize that it does take up time and I can look forward to doing it every week. And if I add in my kids' personal care, this can be stretched into a solid hour and a half. Verdict, it's 100% better than puzzles. Can't wait to hear some of the ways you guys are spending your free, and I emphasize free, time, especially if you have children at home. Please do drop me a line via direct messaging or email at podcast@threefunevents.com. Other more serious ways we've implemented are earn screen time to avoid having the kids spend too many hours in front of the TV or their tablets, which has been a great system so far. Yes, our older son helps pitching in as part of the family, and this new and innovative reward system helps him get a chance to develop some independence and stay on track with his schoolwork. Whatever you do, parents, keep your sense of humor intact. Put the oxygen mask on first. Please do ask for help when you need it. Fear and anxiety about this virus can be overwhelming and cause strong emotions in both adults and children. How you respond to the outbreak can depend on your background, the things that make you different from other people, and the community you live in. Stress during an infectious disease outbreak can include fear and worry about your own health and the health of your loved ones, changes in sleep or eating patterns, difficulty sleeping or concentrating, worsening of chronic health problems, and increased use of alcohol or other drugs. Taking care of yourself, your friends, and your family can help you cope with stress. Coping with stress will make you, the people you care about, and your community stronger. Here's a few ideas of things you can do to support yourself. Take breaks from watching, reading, or listening news stories, including social media. Hearing about the pandemic repeatedly can be quite upsetting. Take care of your body. Take deep breaths, stretch, meditate, exercise regularly. Try to eat healthy, well-balanced meals, get plenty of sleep, and try avoiding alcohol and drugs. Make time to unwind. Try to do some other activities you enjoy, like DIYing. connect with others. Zoom video has exploded overnight and for good reason. Talk with people you trust about how you're feeling and be honest about how you are doing. If stress and anxiety get in the way of your daily activities for several days in a row, please do call your healthcare provider. Children and teens react in part on what they see from the adults around them. When you as a parent and caregiver deal with the COVID-19 calmly and confidently, you can provide the best support for your children. As a parent, you can be way more reassuring to your children when you are prepared. CDC has an entire list of resources for everyone, from families and children to first responders to people who have been released from quarantine, on knowing the facts about the virus and how to keep yourself and others healthy, so do go and check it out. For people without adequate resources, so-called disruptions can be catastrophic. The impact on their mental health could be awful, so if you know someone that is struggling, please do check on them. In conclusion, I know this episode could go on, and I could spend another hour or so talking about the coronavirus, about managing expectations as a parent, which is key during stressful times, talk about how self-care is not selfish or indulgent, it's how you keep yourself well, physically, emotionally, and mentally capable of being there for your children and your family. One thing I want to emphasize, stay connected. We may be apart, but we are not alone. Stay in contact with people virtually, engage in activities that give you pleasure and a sense of meaning, and do what you can to help others, which is a remarkable antidote to depression. For event professionals like myself going through these turbulent times, the best resource I found, and I have to give you, is pointing you to the Events Council's website /coronavirus. On there, you will find a wealth of information and industry-specific resources that are being updated regularly with timely information regarding labor and employment resources, postponements and cancellations, insurance and medical resources as well. As meeting planners, we are always planning for the unknown and trying to mitigate risk. The unfortunate outbreak of the coronavirus is no exception. We must continue to take a proactive role to ensure the safety and security of our event attendees. Rather than wringing our hands in despair and fear, we can use this challenge time to prepare for a future of opportunity and to forge closer relationships with our customers, with our vendors, with our partners, with members, and even competitors. I will also include in my episode notes a few links to resources for fun activities and things to do with your children at home, because as much as this is a professional podcast, for better or worse, it looks as though we are still only at the beginning of the pandemic and that of a troubled time. Health comes first, and we need to be flexible, creative, cooperative, and unified in our efforts. And right now, during this time, for myself and for many others, our main profession is being mothers and fathers to our children, being spouses to our better halves, and that is what my focus is to do to the best of my ability. Let's keep in touch and see you on the other side in May. Fingers crossed. Okay, friends, this is it for today's episode. I hope it wasn't all so weary and you found a little bit of humor in there as well. Thank you so much for listening to the very end. If you liked what you heard, please leave us your feedback via our Instagram account at TrefanEvents, and that is TREEFAN_EVENTS. I would love to hear from you. I would love to hear how you're doing, how you're dealing with this pandemic, how are you staying healthy and safe. Have a fantastic quarantine rest of your day. Until next time.